thought maybe hot pizza would be better than cold pizza, and so they're going to deliver it, hopefully at 4:30. So not too much fudge, and if we get through here too quickly, maybe you can eat your cookies first. He also did that.
This writing is dated Sunday, December 29th, 1996. John Schrepfer, remembering. I ask that this day be dedicated to the memory of our beloved brother, John. May his name be listed high on our list of teachers who gave greatly that all the rest of us might grow. How does this happen? How does anyone make another grow? All things are connected, and in that interconnection, all things contribute to the whole in production of opportunities, scenarios in which choices are made and actions are taken. And above all, each life offers another the opportunity to go within and choose attitudes, perceptions, and perspectives. We find that each passage offers us, if they touch us physically, an opportunity to serve goodness, darkness, and or fence it. Most just continue to fence it while washing hands of any possible involvement which may interrupt an otherwise boring day. How many of us left it to others to see to John's passage, dignity in the transition process, and final appropriations, while Audrey and Eric have earned stars in their crowns as we sorted through the morass of uncaring family and indifferent attachments? Did they mumble about why me? Did they say, well, it's no longer my problem? No, they did what was necessary in the midst of disappointing insults and backturning. They did it in spite of the spiteful and hateful things that even John shouted at them in his final time among friends. But is this a eulogy to Audrey?
Should be.
No, it is an appreciation for Audrey, which each of us should consider very, very carefully. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to make arrangements for a final resting place and circumstance for a human person when the family refuses to participate and makes clear that no funds will be forthcoming to even purchase a flower to rest on the coffin? And whether or not you ones like to consider this truth, the soul is present for a long time in witnessing that which takes place in the departure processing. The departure process is that time period of sequenced events that allow a being to process and appraise a life journey, discharge that which must be stored as data, evaluate exchange sites, and generally relocate. Or did you think it was just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and away we go? Dr. Overholt knew John Schrepfer the longest of anyone here and shared much with John prior to ever hearing about us. My hope is that any discomfort in John's final days will not distort the original friendship, for as life impacts each of us, we find conflicts to be ever so much more damaging to fragile feelings. We all who know John's story can recognize that a normal young man would probably have had a mental breakdown or committed suicide at facing such incredible pressures as were on John in his last 5 to 10 years. Most of us don't do too well at a day of problem facing, to which Al himself can attest. Even murder was attempted on John's being in order for departed associates to get his assets. If you all knew all about this circumstance, you would have found John to be incredibly clear and functional. How would you hold up under such pressures? You look at living and you look at dying, and the great mystery looms ever so large before you. What is life and what is death? Nothing. Life is that which you move into, not out of. You are not the flesh body of self. However, at transition, there is a period of adjustment of spirit, soul. There is no adjustment period for body, and the soul of that body couldn't care less what you do with it. You remaining in physical form are the ones that have to face the flesh, physical aspect of another's passage. Some people actually deliberately take their physical lives just to cause one of you to have to attend the mess left behind. At the time of transition, however, the soul is able to judge intents and witness that which is outstanding in debts or in actual relationships without the lies of the parties remaining. By this I mean that an individual witnesses and has to confront all relationships in order to assess status. It is not hard, do you suppose? Correction. Is it not hard, do you suppose, to have to face reality in knowing that you are not worthy of so much as a call back from a son, a denial of all connections by a brother, and so on down the line of relatives, and even from those who tried to get your assets? Ah, but you can know these latter ones will continue to try to strip every last thing, including the dignity of the deceased. When you have those who try to do so in life, just watch it what happens at death. Why do I speak of these things at a eulogy when everyone is supposed to gush and squeak about what a nice Joe this was? Because I bring truth, and the facts are that a so-called death is only another beginning for the departing being. John is much more around this place this day than he ever was in his physical form, and he needs to be honored for the great opportunities he gave freely to all of us who were, yes, privileged to share a bit of his journey. John had some wondrous tales to share and most simply tossed them aside as outrageous and crazy talk. No, they were real, and you were not. John grew to be confused between the reality he knew and the experience of his imprisoned mind. He finally could see no hope of ever again merging fully the two, and even if he could do so, his physical body could no longer serve him well. At this point, a decision is made, considered, and honored. John often demanded of me to tell him exactly where the tunnels are, for he needed access, storage space for food and supplies for you, his friends, and he knew they were present. They are, and now he knows where exactly they are. Too late to help? No, just keep listening, you who discount the possibilities. Anyone moving on with the angels of light are in for wondrous new and remembering experiences. The ones who move on with the dark imps of the next dimension are going to wish they had not. John moved with his angels, so you are still the ones at disadvantage. And yes, but life goes on for the remaining undeparted, and responsibilities, love, fun, relationships, and ongoing living must be attended, and preferably in a state of joy. Since this is true, why do you push the river's flow? I asked some of you to write while Dharma is under fire for serving me, and I needed a respite for her to regroup and be able to confront the next line of attack. I did not ask you to become psychics and fortune tellers to others who attend your directions and suggestions. Be careful in either the receiving or the offering of such input, and be very careful not to call the instructions hatons, for I do not fortune tell, nor do I urge relationships in one way or another. You who are freshly involved in relationships, what is your all-fired hurry? Is it sex? Is it a show of commitment? What is your problem? Can you not first find if you are stable and capable of standing alone before you move into relationships in which you have no knowledge or input on the short-term recognition? Move carefully, slowly. Do your individual jobs. Live wherever you want to live, together if possible, and yet live in responsible commitment, not with some state certificate of contract waiting to be broken one piece at a time. Rick isn't here today, so I can share that by this time he was involved and in love some 4 times prior to now, and had he ventured off into that marriage state, he would have broken all 4 contracts. I repeat the question. What is your all-fired hurry? Love is a total commitment without any attachments or conditions as to contractual living. Can't you let that grow prior to doing silly things which are then difficult for responsible parties to undo? Can you not enjoy the growing together as friends first, and then the final arrangements as to attachments can be final? What do you do? What you do about your physical relationships is up to you, always with both parties in front of mind in responsible actions. Can you not, publicly if necessary to your inner comfort, make a commitment without all the trappings? Or make the commitment, have the trappings of a special day, and then let the river flow on its own? Be patient, for only in unfolding sequence of events can you know how it will come to pass. When you become a team without the bindings, then and only then can you experience freedom in relationships. Most people put on the handcuffs and shackles and then wonder what the hell went wrong. When you cease to use one another, you can have the freedom of a wondrous team in harness for living, not in shackles for contractual foolishness. Homosexual partners are totally without reason for love, has not to do with physical interchange in a sexual fashion. Those activities are exactly what they are called, sexuality and sexual intercourse of all sorts and ridiculous fashion. Love is the bond which is absolute, filled with respect and reverence, and needs no contract. Share with your friends the joy of a relationship and be patient in the growing of that relationship. And then, only then, can you, at the right sequence of events, realize open freedom of choices. What, pray tell me, is wrong with two people of the same sex or opposing sex living under one roof, with or without chaperone? What nonsense. It seems to me quite intelligent to share expenses, workload, cleaning and tidying, cooking and sharing companionship and care. God only requests responsibility in all things. A contract from its very nature is a paper to be broken apart and ripped asunder. If a married couple has the right relationship, that piece of paper was and is unimportant, except to remember a commemoration day, which in itself is usually used to torment the other half. If he, she forgets, God forbid. If you can't work out your sharing arrangements without a contract, you do not have readiness for a bigger state contract. If you find it necessary for your arrangements to suit self, children, or anyone, based on anything but love, responsibility, and mutual agreement, then don't put on the cuffs linking you together, for there will only be heck to pay at some, such as death, sometime, such as death separation. John Schreffer had to leave the physical plane with his own bondage unresolved. Is that what you seek? Of course not. So again, what is your all-fired hurry in binding up one another into captivity? Do you fear another will come and you will lose your chosen or accepted mate to another? Well, let me warn you that the marriage certificate does not hamper that reality one iota. You may have the other party bound, but you will not bind the love. Why take this day, of all days, while honoring John, to speak of these things? Because of the circumstances at departure of one John Schreffer. There are thousands of you out there working through relationships, either out of them, into them, through them, hating them, loving them, arguing over them, being hurt this day or that for this or that attitude of the other, and generally ignoring the fact that love and magnetism toward another is not identical, but only a perception, usually based on pretty blind hearts. If it is love in truth, it will always be love. If it is not, it needs to be known, and that takes experience through myriads of events. Some of you think you need approval of ones you respect, such, frankly, as myself. I approve. I can see pitfalls in personal relationships, but even if I point them out, you will not wish to accept them from me, at any rate. Most will tell me right up front that what they have done or plan to do, and thus and so, that is to prevent me from entering objective input. This, unfortunately, comes not just with relationships, but with dimensional change as well. John, for instance, says to me, quote, "I'm going to leave this defective place, and what do you think of that, sir?" What can I think about that? In John's instance, it seemed like probably a good idea, and after all, it was his decision. He suggested that if he waited for the law to settle his affairs, he would undoubtedly be into his post-century years, and his legs already wouldn't hold him erect. By the way, I do not like the term angel of death. There are angels of life and angels of transition, as well as angels or energies of incarceration. There is not even death of the flesh body. There is only change. I am told by the experts that death is that which happens when the brain dies and energy departs. But energy never departs. The cells change after they first become static, and then a reversal of structuring takes place, and the process is ongoing until once again the elemental status of the physical is exchanged into elements and energy of a different variety, and then it really reactivates itself. Even during the brief periods of rest, voidance, there is activity, even if it be microscopic change, as things move into either release or dormancy or whatever. That, however, is no longer any concern of the departed soul mind. Well, I often hear, you don't know how these things touch us as ongoing humans. Don't I? What is it that you know that is so much more valid than my own experience? What do you know about anything beyond that veil? Is not your opinion simply that, your opinion? How many of you see John sitting in that chair, usually reserved for him? Well, he is there. Where are you? A most funny thing happens to you physical beings as you move on toward living and passing through these experiences, and I can share some as examples. Dorman E.J., in planning for this day, remember back to what John used to like the most. He liked coming from his prior residence to spend time at their house. E.J. made a road in back so that John could park on the living room level, so that Eleanor would not have to go up and down the stairs. John liked nothing better than the evenings with pizza, wine, or coffee and cookies. He was a cookie monster, and he would always bring cookies from his treks back and forth from his favorite bakery. I'm glad that Dharma has insisted on having cakes and a bit of social interchange for these months, for it allows you to enjoy one another briefly while you are living in the ability to partake physically and not just witness. John will be just as happy to witness now, for he enjoyed, more than most of you, the treats. We honor where and when we can, and then, friends, we release unto God that which God has reclaimed for a new adventure. Only God and John can review and judge, discern and evaluate service. So how nice that all we have to do is offer respect and release a friend, be it relative by blood or simply attachment through the chance encounters of evolvement. The term chance is ill chosen, but it presents the idea I hope to offer. There are only choosings, not chances. My hope that in having opportunity to speak more of living in physical attachments is not embarrassing to anyone reading or listening, for after all, you are stuck with living in this environment, and the ones already departed do not need the lessons. The better you live, the more responsibly you experience, the fewer changes are required of you in passage. John, of all people present, knew as much and found it to be too late smart, and had to make passage in loneliness and a heavy heart. Perhaps that with which I might end this appropriately is to ask all of you, again, what is your all-fired hurry? And know something, John doesn't have time to hang around and dally with you longer. In love and appreciation, I share that which we can share, cherish the things we can share, and always, in infinite love, as with the love of God, I salute you and I offer humble respect, appreciation, and graduation to a humble student. Because John was, he shall exist for all time. And someday, in the long ahead events, shall come some readings, and someone will ask, as with John of Revelation, John who? Is not life a passing and interesting thing? Good morning, and may the life you save be your own, for it cannot be otherwise. Salute.
Thank you. The floor is open. If anyone would like to speak or question, we haven't had a meeting for a while, and I know that there are a lot of questions. I don't want to break into the reverence of a memorial, but that's exactly what life is about. It is the going on. And we don't want to wait until a passage to be able to actually give flowers, give love, give appreciation to the ones that later somehow extract that from us because it's the right thing to do. There are things you do because it is the right thing to do. And that is a responsible reaction. There are things we all enjoy doing, receiving and giving and sharing. And those are negotiated. I will listen to you if you will listen to me, this sort of an interchange. There are compromises that must be made in physical relationships. I would wish that a brother could have compromised his feelings to just come and share a few moments while we gather an energy is strong in memory of and appreciation to those. There was interchange with them when John was incarcerated. And I'm not going to call it anything else. He was bopped over the head. It is fortunate that it didn't kill him then. He was placed in an Alzheimer's center. And quite frankly, that isn't so bad. John was not terribly unhappy with his placement. But Eleanor's son made sure that no one could even come and visit him after a while. And it was announced by the person in charge that if you continue to come, we will call the police and remove you. What kind of a life is that? Eleanor never even accepted his calls. What kind of a relationship is that? And then family members signed affidavits in behalf of keeping him incarcerated. And one of them literally called him a fool. There was great bitterness. Can we not compromise even our bitterness for a few minutes to appreciate what must have been there as children growing, even apart? And when you find these kinds of weavings of pain into life, try to be understanding and open yourself enough to listen so that ones don't have to bear that entire situation or circumstance alone. That's what is meant by our brother's keeper. Not go support him because he doesn't want to work. We share what's missing from our lives in an effort to shore up one another. And always in forgiveness of ourselves, can't you forgive your own bitterness long enough? To offer a hand to what has become a stranger. These people no longer knew their brother, their father, their husband. Can there be no appreciation for the years of physically carrying a spouse? Pushing a chair, sitting by a bedside while there is a heart pacemaker implanted and hips replaced. Can there be no appreciation for the goodness that a man offers? And can we blame the bitterness that comes when there is nothing of appreciation offered in return? Those are the ones, if I'm going to weep today, that I weep for. You who can't grow enough to love, forgive. That's what God weeps over, your inability to grow, to let go, release, and appreciate one another with your flaws. When you are perfect, you are God, and therefore only then can you expect yourself or another not to have flaws. It doesn't mean you have to appreciate or like the flaws. It means you learn to deal with them, appreciate what other things there may be. The gift of a child. Even if you can't get along anymore, appreciate the gift of half that child. And from that you can build, again, a good relationship. I did not say a marriage. Stop getting hung up on the things of earth. Because they're fleeting, they're passing, and at best you can hang on to them maybe a century at most. And if you are individuals, it'll be far less than that. Check the length of your own marriage or your own separation from that one. That for whatever reason is no longer present. And see what good you can find. And maybe instead of funeral flowers, send a bouquet of flowers to that one that you think you can't stand anymore. And say, I appreciate what we did have, what we do have. And what we can still have. Everybody with me so far? We have to take the opportunity of ones who pass into that next dimension so that we can look at these things. It is a great offering to just be allowed to take note of this passage, because it holds great lessons. How can you take the lesson of the one who just left and integrate it into your own experience so that you don't allow this to happen when you make passage? Or you don't have to sit back and wish you'd done it differently. And that's why I could be a little rash, and you can forgive my language about remains. Until it's put in a vault somewhere, or it is put into the ground somewhere, for another somebody somewhere to put a little gravestone, those individuals will not rest. And one day, they will say, Father, thank you for requiring that I confront the pain of our relationship. Let's not wait till we die. Let's not wait until we die to honor our parents, honor our children, for they must bear the rest of this journey on this place. And honor those who have gone before us so that we can have insight. And maybe regroup a little bit of ourselves. And forgive ourselves first. You cannot really forgive anybody else anything until you can forgive self for what will become the nonsense of the generation. And there are many, many ones that are not able to be here today for all sorts of reasons that would want to be here to share just a few minutes with us, with or without John's physical presence. He can get around now. I appreciate the opportunity. I truly appreciate the opportunity because the pressures are so great that I've hesitated to even ask for a meeting. There are many things evolving right now that need attention. So I appreciate that John precipitated something that allowed us to stop for a little bit, sit together for a little while, sup together. It seems to be a time when people will stop long enough to at least visit, sit, have some interchange. This is the terrible part about having no church, no cult, no whatever. You don't know who to ask even to your home. You don't know what to do. I understand that. And if we ever resolve some of these miserable problems that are created by earth people, we can join together. We can't have a church because there is no religion, do you see? Hear me. We have no religion. Therefore, we have no man-made doctrines. We only have us and God. And choices. That's all. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And as long as we move towards what is right to the best of our ability, that's all God asks. Not to follow some man's doctrine to make you a Presbyterian or a Mormon or a Catholic. If you want to be those things, you can be those things. Dr. Cleaver did not know what to call this. If anything, he would have to, he said, I guess, classify it as a religion. But I know of no religion that teaches this kind of truth. Only men's doctrines are thrust upon you to bind you further. Maybe it's a fraternity, sorority. Maybe it is a brotherhood. We like that. That's nice, except that it's misused. You can't even find an icon to worship. You can't find a person to worship. God requires the responsibility of individual self here. Not that you can't follow along or get on your feet or balance yourself, because each will perceive another to be stronger in some elemental things. And we can handle that, because it does not override everything. We only have God. Because I'm only the host who serves God. That makes me no greater than you, only different. And it doesn't make me any more responsible than are you. Or any more capable than are you, only at a different level. And that's what it makes this so beautiful. Because we don't have an obligation to a doctrine. You're here because you want to be here. No other reason. And we can look at that term want. You're not here through force. Not from here. You know, some people want to do something because the bad guy's got a gun to your head. You really do want to please him. And if that preacher is threatening you with hellfire and brimstone, if you don't pay your way according to his adjudication, you're going to want to please him. You better believe it. Because you don't want those terrible consequences. There are no consequences, except as you choose them. Because if you don't want the negative impact, you will live a goodly life. And you won't have near as much work to do when you make that passage during those first 3 days. I think I'll just go hang around the cemetery, some will say. But there's no escaping God, you understand? There's no escaping God by lies, cheating, hiding, running in the physical plane. And there certainly isn't once you cross that veil. Because you become more of an attachment to the fragmentation that is God. And I'm not here to make you be anything. I'm here while we do our own lessons, our own growing, our own teamwork building, our own method of being able to make it farther and possibly salvage some of this planet and get a remnant through these troublesome times, lest mankind forget God altogether. That's the important thing. The evil empire is trying to get total control and through force negate your ability to know truth. And once that is accomplished, it's over. You are bound. You are bound because you don't know any difference. And after a few generations of being forced into a modus operandi, you're going to act and you're going to teach your children, you know, well, let us just use the Holocaust. Holocaust simply means conflagration, usually by fire. What a silly thing to call the German Jewish Holocaust, Holocaust. Most of those people, regardless of how they died, did not die by fire, which is holocausting. And holocausting means death by fire. That means you were alive, weren't you, until the fire got you. So simple technicality says it could not be as you are told. But now the law says that you must accept what you are told to accept, even though there's no logic, no reason, no basis, no history. And once you succumb to that, within three generations, you're finished. And there will simply be some old books in some archive, somewhere, buried under a pyramid, somewhere, for some generation, a zillion years from now, to rebuild and know what happened. Just as it's time for all of the opening of all those other stored things, so that you can see what happened the last time. Now, isn't this a silly game? Can't we just turn it around and live in this environment, in this physical consciousness, if that's what you want to do, in a positive way? Well, yes, that would be nice, Dad, but where are those newly experiencing soul fragments going to get their lessons? Uh-oh. You're going to have a physical environment which allows freedom of choice. And you say, well, we don't really have freedom of choice. I've got to breathe. John quit breathing. That was his choice. So the ultimate choice, stop your heart, quit breathing. If you want to make a transition, doesn't do anything. You just go right on. So if that's the way you want to cop out, no offense to John intended. But when it is appropriate for you, those are your choices. And circumstances usually happen through your choices. You say, well, I'm sure that little mother on Christmas Day, her name was Janet, I'm sure she didn't plan. Well, she chose to go to Ridgecrest. That put her on that road. No, you don't know what's going to happen around that bend. That's life. And life is what happens to you while you're planning. I'm sure with all the Christmas things and those children, she didn't plan to go to the hospital and go through a death experience. But life is what happens to you while you're making all those other wonderful plans. And I'm telling you again, I've told you before, you better get yourself prepared, get off the fence, decide what it is you want to do.